This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings back in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 23rd, episode 1306, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
All right, well, I'm going to take a hint from what you said to me at the end of the show on Friday, and I'm going to completely behave myself today. It's a Monday. I am back in town. I have work to do. I have family coming in this week, and I am not going to be accused of being drinking.
I really thought Friday, we got about halfway through really bad ads, and I thought you had imbibed a good bit in the last 15 minutes, because you just sounded drunk and silly in the last 15, which isn't bad. That's a good thing for the show. But listen, I really thought you had been drinking.
In no part of the world is it an okay or positive thing for your boss to ask you if you've been drinking.
Oh, it was funny. You were really funny. I don't know why your silly gene just turned on and it was off and running.
I was at like the end of the week, okay, at staying at my mother-in-law's and my, you know, the in-law's house. So I love them. But you can be a little bit done at times. So I think I was just getting
well, you were
close
going to see Hunger Games in about 10 minutes after the
yes.
show, too. So
yes,
there was that.
I left right after. So we are going to review Hunger Games because I pressured and strong-armed Glenn into going and see it, too. So we can both
I volunteered. I wanted to see it. I read the books. I was ready.
Both of us read the books. Jennifer never did. So we'll have a little bit of a triangular review for you.
Spoiler free.
Of course, spoiler free. But I mean, come on, should have read the book.
That's right.
But we're going to find out from Jennifer first what is coming up on today's show.
Whoa. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. Following our Catch Up with a Co-host Adventures segment, we will be joined by California Historical Artillery Society Stable Sergeant Dennis Winfrey with a look at horses in war reenactment. And galloping headlong through the gate like a beaker at supper time, the wacky world of Horse Nation entertains us. And last but not least, in honor of the world's largest cashew tree located in Brazil, which covers roughly 5 acres, happy National Cashew Day, everybody.
How can one tree cover 5 acres?
I don't know, but how can there be a cashew day? That was kind of my
question. I was stuck on the tree. You were stuck on cashew day. Well, this is a happy birthday to Mona Wheeler, a good listener of ours, and she also sent in a great entry for the Radiothon. Her horselovers.com voicemail entry was terrific. And I also wanted to, so happy birthday to you, Mona, and I also wanted to call out a special note to the Jerry Johnson family. We don't have a lot of guy listeners, so I have to give him some love. He and his whole family sent in an entry for for the radiothon. And let me tell you what, I the kids just sound precious. So, Jerry, it sounds like you have an absolutely wonderful family, and your entry was terrific. I can't wait for Jamie to hear it, but he also sent a special request along that said, do not let Jamie hear this ahead of time. I want to hear her reaction on Radiothon Day.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And listen, if you guys want to keep a secret and or surprise me, first of all, I hate surprises. Second of all, Glenn will do it. He has no problem hiding anything from me.
No, I love surprising you. Mainly because I think you hate him so much. I think that's partly why.
There's no thinking.
It'd be no fun if you love surprises. What fun's that?
Okay, well, I have two. My first one goes to our listener, Lindsay Roush. She has a Etsy website, and she makes, with her own 10 little fingers, maybe her toes too, some reins and halters with like the paracord reins that you can use for, oh my gosh, English Western. Well, I put them on my dually halter, my little Monty Roberts dually halter, because I can ride bridleless with that. And Thor really trail rides really well bridleless. And so I wanted some reins because his other favorite pastime when you ride bridleless is grazing. And when you ride bridleless, and you have those little loop reins, you have to really lay on your horse's neck. You basically fall off whenever they put their head down to graze. So I ordered from Lindsay a set of very extra long reins so I can still sit there while he eats. And oh my gosh, these things are so cool. So I just posted a link, and they're only $20. So I just posted a link to her Etsy shop on her Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I'm going to, in just a few minutes, post a picture of Thor and his beautiful red, white, and blue American flag reins in the comments section. So if you want to see them, check it out. Otherwise, Etsy.com/shop/HaloHDesigns. So probably search Halo H Designs in Etsy if you don't have Facebook.
Very good. Yeah, that's terrific. I'm glad you like those. And, you know, if he decides he's going to graze and you don't have a bit in his mouth, and he decides that he's not going to listen to you, you don't have much to say about it.
Hence the reason for requesting the extra large reins.
Because he's just going to do it and you ain't going to make him.
Stop. And you just, I'm like with him because I like to trail ride him bareback and walk him around. And I am that 12-year-old girl who, or like that 6-year-old girl on that big fat pony. When the horse goes to graze, they pull the kid forward up the neck and they usually fall off. I've come off him, basically slid off him twice. So I was like, that's it. I need the reins.
It's like trying to put reins on a Sherman tank, you know, and expecting him to stop and.
Exactly. Not when you see some lush grass along the trail ride. Hey, I have one more daily Winnie.
Oh, okay.
Gonna hit the button.
You have two today.
I have two today. I'm going crazy. And the second one goes to, well, two people. It goes to Calumet Farm and it goes to our good friend, Smarty Jones. That's right. Guess where Smarty Jones is going to be this top breeding season? He's moving to Calumet Farms. Oh, I'm so excited. Isn't that cool? So he was at Three Chimneys right after he originally retired. And he was there for about 6 seasons and didn't really have a massive, great, you know, he had some nice horses, but babies, but then they moved him over to Pennsylvania. His owners moved him back to Pennsylvania. And now this year they are sending him back to Central Kentucky. His fee for 2016 will be $7,500. Still a pretty good fee. So welcome to Calumet. One more reason to go visit Calumet Farms. You can go see Smarty Jones. I love Smarty.
And there's another racehorse in the news, and let me just start off by doing this. Little cheering.
Why?
American Pharoah is in the lead.
Yes, he is in the lead by a lot. So that whole Sports Illustrated vote for Sportsman of the Year, even though they're not really counting your votes, they're only kind of counting your votes because they're going to pick anyway, but it's been a neck and neck battle between the Kansas City Royals and American Pharoah. And American Pharoah is now up. He is winning right now. And up, like, he's winning by 20,000 votes.
Yeah, I'm just looking. It's 40% to 35%, and American Pharoah has 165,000 votes, and the Kansas City Royals have 144,000, so over 20,000 votes now. And when we left on Friday, they were 60 votes apart.
Yeah. Oh, that's so crazy.
I think it's our show.
I was going to say, did us mentioning it really send it home?
I think it had to be totally that.
I'm sure it was.
You know, the closest next one I'm looking at, we got 3%, 1%, 3%, 8% for Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
It's not a train. I guess he's a soccer dude.
A football player.
Yes. And then it's for Serena.
She's the lowest one of all of them, isn't she?
She's pretty low. Serena's 1%. Way down there. And then Usain Bolt's way down there with Serena. I kind of think the Usain Bolt thing, when I think of Usain Bolt, I don't think this year. I think, you know, past years.
Well, that's because we don't follow up and follow men's track and field. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who this gymnast chick is or skater. I don't even know what she does. Simone Biles.
Yeah, and Ronda Rousey sealed her fate when she lost. So
now, I have read a lot of really cool stuff about her, and as a woman, I really think she kind of lifted herself out of some trouble and got herself to where she is. She's an amazing person. She is not more amazing than American Pharoah, and clearly about 165,000 people agree with me. Yes. So
I got to tell you and the Kansas City Royals, you know, they've been putting on the marketing machine. Baseball's been putting in the marketing machine here to get the Royals. And, you know, we're competing. They have a huge marketing machine, Major League Baseball. So, you know, the fact that they took Pharoah took a 20,000 vote lead is pretty good.
Well, we've got a while to talk about this. It's just, this is like too stressful. If you voted on everything, then you just have to sit back and watch because they won't let you vote twice. But voting closes at 11:59 p.m. on December 12th. And the review, it'll be the November 14th. So you'll find out who it is on November 14th.
P.S. You know, if you clear your cookies, you might be able to vote again.
Are you serious?
I'm just saying. You might be able to vote again if you clear your cookies.
See, that's why we have Glenn the Geek around here.
Just saying. I'm not sure.
I don't know how to clear cookies, but it sounds like something awesome.
So let's talk. Ellen sent us a note on Facebook, and Ellen, of course, is Dr. Ellen from New York City, and we had talked about the fact that the Equus Film Festival was going on over the weekend, and she's kind of our reporter on the scene, and she couldn't call in today, but she said it was fabulous, fun, educational, informative. She watched Harry and Snowman, of course, which we talked about on Friday. She saw Unbranded, which I'm going to see December 8th, and the Horse Carriage Industry documentary. She also saw multiple panels and films about the BLM, wild horses slaughter, Nurse Mayor Foals, therapeutic riding, and on and on and on. She said she had a great time. She also shopped a bit, apparently. You know, horse girl in Manhattan has to shop, right? So she shopped a bit, and she said, a thank you to the organizers for bringing the Equus Film Festival to New York City. And thanks to HRN for posting opportunity. And she wore her HRN cap. She represented. Yay!
She did know. I see this and I see, okay, I watched Harry and Snowman, which you guys know, by the way, on, was it Friday? I cried just listening to the preview.
I know you did.
Harry and Snowman, Unbranded, guys with wild Mustangs go across the country. Something about the horse carriage, BLM, slaughter of horses for human. These are the types of movies. Nurse Mayorfold. I read this and I sent her a message. I'm like, how many times did you cry on a Friday, like on the weekend? Like I would be unable to do that, to watch all those movies. It'd be just like rip your heart out and or it puts it back in with something very inspirational. And then you cry again and then you're inspired again and then you cry again. I can't imagine how difficult the Equus Film Festival is to sit there and watch all of them. But how amazing that would be to be able to go. We have to go, Glenn.
Well, she said she's trying to get HRN up there to New York City next year.
Oh my gosh.
So she's trying to find sponsors for us to go up and cover it. I wish it was like in Kentucky or something, but it's, you know.
Heck no, I want to go to Manhattan.
New York City.
Woo! I can go to Kentucky. Let's go to New York.
There you go. I've never been to New York at Christmas, actually. So
that's an even better reason to go. Yeah. Me neither.
Well, thank you, Ellen, for posting that and keeping us up to date on what is happening horse-wise in New York City. All right. You went on Friday. We went last night. Jamie and I both read the Hunger Games books before we ever saw the movies. Jennifer did not read the books, and I took her to the movies dragging and screaming, I think. So we have our review here of the Hunger Games, the final Hunger Games. And, you know, there were a lot of criticism that there were three books, four movies. There was a lot of criticism that they took the last book and cut it into two movies because it was just a way to make more money.
It was so long.
And going into the last movie, I said to Jennifer on the way in, I think they had to break that book into two movies to get everything in. I changed my mind when I got done with that movie last night.
What?
I think they could have got everything in one movie. So, what was your opinion? And then I'll tell you mine.
Oh, you're going to throw me in first? Okay.
Yes, I'm going to throw you in first.
So, I hated the last book. Reading it.
Well, it's very dark.
I mean, it's dark.
I mean, but then again, the first book is about kids killing each other for sports. So
I didn't hate it because it was dark. I don't mind reading dark things. But what I hated about the book was you're inside Katniss's head a lot. Mm-hmm. And she just is constantly confused, it seems.
Yes.
She's like,
yes.
Why are they doing that?
That is
what
true.
Is going on here? How is it? And I'm confused enough for the two of us. Like, you don't need to be confused. I'm confused. And so a lot of the descriptions of what was going on in the book, I thought, I can't wait to see this in a movie because I have no idea what the hell I'm thinking of right now. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what I'm thinking of. These monsters are this and that. I don't know what I'm talking about. These things are just because the games makers, you know, I don't know what they're making. It was so confusing to me. So I thought it was going to be fun to see that underneath. I love the fact that they split it into two because I like the going to the movie to see the Hunger Games. I like that whole, I'm sad it's over. I wish there was more.
I agree with you there. I totally agree with you there.
So I don't mind that they split it. And I like that they kind of were able to focus on a lot of the, they weren't in a rush, you know, like they were. And that's what a lot of the reviews are like, oh, it just spent too much time doing this and this. I'm like, who cares? That's, they're telling a story and that's how they told it. And so I liked the movie a lot better than the book. A lot. A lot better than the book. Like, I actually, like Chad said, he was like, did you like it better than the book? He was like, I said, yes. He goes, well, that's not hard to do because you hated the book. I was like, what a waste of time. Boom! Close the book. And so this one, I was able to kind of slow down and be able to visualize a little bit more. And it wasn't just whiny Katniss in her own head. Like, I think the Jennifer Lawrence Katniss is better than the Katniss in the book.
Well, I agree with you there. And you know what made these movies wasn't necessarily the story, because the story was pretty demented. But what made these movies was the characters. I mean, and the actors is what I mean. The characters playing the actors playing the characters were just, they just nailed everything. Yeah. From Snow to Effie to everybody in these books were just perfect. And they were just what I imagined when I read the books. And I give you that Jennifer Lawrence was better than I imagined. Although you did want to smack her at times during this, even this movie, where you're just going, would you get it together? You're supposed to be the hero here. You know, it's like, you did want to smack her a few times. But her acting was unbelievable. And I won't mention what the scene is, but the scene towards the end, which one.
Yeah,
That took an amazing amount of acting to accomplish that scene, and
the whole thing is
now,
acted. Incredibly.
I thought this movie drug in parts. They could have cut a half hour out of this movie. There was way too much talking in basement. Oh, just too much talking. I went to go to the bathroom, came back. They were still talking. It's like, just stop talking and start shooting stuff.
I like the talk.
I said that when I left. Jennifer and I were both like, oh, that was way too much talking. That was just drug and drug and drug. And we both said, oh, Jamie loved it. So She likes that boring stuff. Oh,
I like,
man.
To, like, take a deep breath. But did you have the issue? Enough about the Hunger Games. I think, I don't know what else we can say about it without ruining anything.
I liked it. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't like it. And I love the performances in it. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence, you know, for being, what, 23? I mean, is just an incredible actress. And not just hot. She's a good actress.
I saw her. If you watch her on Jimmy Fallon last week.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. She's so funny.
And she's so down to earth. Just normal kid, you know?
Oh, I went to some... I was in France. Oh, yeah. I was in France for, like, some movie thing. You know, she's just so real about all of
and
it.
And she never looks comfortable when she has to wear those damn dresses either.
No.
She never looks comfortable, but it was...
She talked about her most embarrassing moments. We'll have to find that and post that on our Horses in the Morning page, because it is definitely funny to hear her say that.
Go see the movie. You have to. It's the last one.
And, well, you have to. I mean, if you haven't seen any of them, you'll
Let's ask Jennifer real quick what she thinks. She didn't read the book.
I did not read the book. I thought it was a B+ because I did not guess the entire ending of the movie, just most of it. So that's pretty good. I hate it when I guess the entire movie before it's over. So that was pretty good. But they spent way too much time in the subways shooting stuff. Didn't like that part.
For those who...
Yeah, but she's claustrophobic, so we have to give her a pass on that.
Way too much time, you know, in war.
Yeah.
I would definitely 100,000,000% recommend that you see one, like, the day before you go see two. Because,
yeah,
just to refresh, because
yeah.
A lot of time
I kind of had,
like,
forgotten some of it, too, and I read the books, and I'd kind of forgotten some of it.
Yeah. So just brush up on all of it before you go.
And do not go see the final one without having seen the others. You got to see these in order. They make no freaking sense at all.
Okay, so. The funny thing is, we get in there, and I go with my sister-in-law and Chad. And the sister-in-law was like, I really want to go. My husband doesn't want to go. I've seen all of them without him. So she goes, and we're sitting in the middle of it. And, like, 10 minutes in, she's like, wait, what? How does she have those bruises on her neck?
Yeah, wait, that's I thought they...
She realizes, like, 50, she's like, you know what?
I missed one.
I saw first part of this. I was like, oh my God, this is going to suck for you. Like, so the whole time she's coming up, what'd that guy say? Okay, what'd that guy say when I said, what'd that guy say? What are they doing now?
Yeah. This was definitely a soap opera. You had to see one before you saw the other.
Bless your heart. Now, was your theater packed?
Yes, it was. It was 90% full. And it was, you know, I thought it would be all teenage girls, but it was 50% teenage girls and then a few of us old farts.
Yeah. What time of the day did you go?
Evening. Yeah.
You went, oh, you braved it, huh? Yeah. I went to the 10:30 a.m. showing in Norman, Oklahoma.
What'd you have?
Well, you were like, you better buy your tickets ahead of time.
I didn't need them, huh?
So I didn't get it. My tickets ahead of time. I'm like, oh my God. So there was one at 10 and 10:30 and we missed the 10. So we're like freaking out. We're trying to get there a little bit early for the 10:30 and we get there. You know how many people on Friday morning went to see the Hunger Games?
You and two others.
My husband, my sister-in-law, and this nice couple that was about 10 rows behind us. That was it. The whole theater. But what I got to tell you is there was like 40 minutes of previews. And I guess the previews somehow reflect the movie that you're going to see.
Yes.
Were your previews all horror movies?
Yes.
I had to walk out.
And it's Christmas time.
Oh, my God. I was mortified. I actually, there's like some preview with this like Chucky doll kind of thing.
Yes. Wasn't that one freaky?
I had to walk out. Chad's like, oh, my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, I got to go. So I went out and I walked around the movie theater a little bit, got some popcorn, came back in. He goes, it's a good thing you left because the one after that one was
You evil. Should have seen the reaction. When we had almost a full theater, so when that Chucky doll movie came up, the preview, the gasps in the audience.
That was the most terrifying. I don't know how you twisted people go see horror movies.
I don't either. That wasn't even so much horror as it was just...
Creeps.
Creepville. Yeah, it really was Creepville.
I guess the next preview was even worse. So if you
guys...
Well,
you know what we kept saying about the previews? That's been made before. That one's done before. You know, every one seemed to be something that had been done before. Yeah, you're right about the previews. It wasn't squishy Christmas movies, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh, it was terrifying. So if you guys are like me and you don't even like seeing, I can't even watch commercials on regular TV, much less as in-depth as they get into previews in a dark movie theater that's totally empty. Oh,
did you go home and throw away all your dolls?
I won't even have one, but they don't cover his face. And, sorry. We're talking more about the preview than the movie.
I know. One was disturbing. The audience kept talking after that one. Everybody was like, oh my God.
I had to leave. Like, I got about, the previews are like, dang, 10 minutes apiece. I got about 2 minutes in, and I look at my sister-in-law, Samantha, and she's covering her eyes, but like, they're open. I'm like, let's go. And she's like, no, I can't. I'm fine. I was like, I'm not fine. I'm leaving.
That movie will be very, very popular with 17-year-old boys. On a lighter note, we took Scooter out and Beaker, and we went to the Florida Horse Park on Saturday, and it was event day. They had an event going on there with what's been 200 trailers, but the Florida Horse Park is big enough that we could park away from everybody, because the one thing I'm concerned about is not so much Scooter freaking out at the event horses, it's a lot of horses don't like carriages. So we didn't really want to go driving around the edge of the cross-country field, you know.
Oh, just gallop through it. No. People have done it to me.
And this was a lower level, not even, you know, recognized event. So that would have been great. But the Florida Horse Park's huge. So we got to take him on the trails that the carriages used during the CDEs to go through the woods. It was his first time in the woods. And I knew if a deer poked his head out, we were gone. But it was a narrow path, and he wasn't, you know, what was he going to do? He was only going to go so far. So we took him into the woods, and we drove for a long time, and he was great. We didn't have any trouble at all in the driving part, and we trotted him through the woods, and Beaker was trotting. It was a lot of fun. That was the first time probably in 25 years since I had my horse Piper. We used to go out to the game lands all the time and drive, that I just had a great time with him. I wasn't too worried about him, and we just had a great time. So,
yeah, let me interject here.
Except.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Except.
And by the way, Scooter hates it when you compare him to Piper all the time. He's like the little kid whose older sibling graduated from Harvard.
Yes, well, yeah. And that would be true.
Why can't you be more like your brother?
No, that's true, and especially when you have a hackney. And anybody who has hackneys and is honest will know what I'm saying is true. Hackneys find a new damn thing every time you do something with them to either be freaked out about, to act out about, or just whatever. Hackneys have something new every time. And I know that's a lot of a pony thing, but I've owned different ponies. Hackneys are the worst at this. So this time, he's always had a little trouble getting out of the trailer. For that 6-inch step is just way too much for him. This time, getting in the trailer was the problem. So getting in, going, and getting in, coming home, we've never had a problem with getting in the trailer before. That's new. And coming home, it took about 45 minutes to get him in the trailer. And Beaker's standing in there the whole time going, would you just hurry up? It's hot in here. So we're going to have to be watching our Monty Roberts lessons here very shortly. And
do you have a dually halter for him? Did you bring it with you?
We did not have it with us because we never had a problem before. Now, when we worked with him last night, now he's eating his dinner in the trailer. So we used the dually halter when we worked on getting him in last night. But yeah, we'll be reviewing those videos in the Monty Roberts University because it's just had never been a problem before. So it's just, man, they're so funny that way. It's just always something that's new with them.
With hackneys. So yeah, that's so crazy.
I don't know. But that was, but otherwise it was a great time. You know, getting him in the trailer was a little stressful, but. And he's so strong now from being driven, you know, he actually has muscle that I can't push him in anymore. You know, he used to be able to just pick him up and push him.
Throw him in the trailer.
Yeah, but can't throw him in anymore. Oh, well. It was fun.
Sorry, I was trying to get my barking dog. There's a coyote outside.
Again, those things are visiting at a regular rate here.
It's that time of year. They're very brave and they're hungry. And I'm glad my chickens are locked up.
All right. Well, while Jennifer gets our guest on, let's talk a little bit about Omega Alpha Equine. I know you use their products on a regular basis.
I do. And I can't tell you that, you know, Norman, my big old giant thoroughbred, he is definitely a bit of an emotional mess. And I think a lot of his issues, and Jennifer will agree because she worked with him a lot, came from a pain-mediated kind of area where he just I think his stomach bothered him. I think he had a lot of kind of musculoskeletal things because he, you know, he's kind of horse that like you can be trotting along with him fine, and then he'll just turn and run to the gate, you know, or something like that. So, and he really had a hard time picking up his right lead canter. So I think what I've tried to do is just kind of go back to the beginning and start him over. I'm doing a lot of the join up with him in the arena. Go away. Sorry. So I'm doing a lot of join up. I'm trying to just kind of get him healthy mentally, but also physically. He's on the biotic 8, like you read about. I've got him on the GastroFX, and I'm just trying to heal him from the inside and without throwing a bunch of chemicals in his belly and throwing a bunch of more stuff that's going to have maybe potentially other side effects. I'm just going with the GastroFX and the biotic 8. And those two things, the biotic 8 is that probiotic. It's just got a billion different probiotics in it. And it really kind of has the good gut bacteria that they really need. And I'm not kidding you guys. He is such a much more pleasant horse to be around. And his coat is beautiful. And it's winter. They're not supposed to have beautiful coats right now. And it's buttery soft. He's jet black. I'll have to take some pictures of him today because he just gets prettier as he goes. I put him in the arena yesterday. I haven't worked him, you know, in 5 or 6 days while I was out of town. I put him in there and he's happily picking up his right lead canter, like, cause he's loose. I just decided I'm putting the side rein, the surcingle on him, but letting him kind of run around loose. So he thinks he's working. And because he has, I'll tell you real quick what I'm doing with him, because he has that gait issue where he wants to gallop to the gate. I'm making him stop like and join up at the opposite end of my arena. I don't have a round pin. So we're doing the opposite end of the arena. And yesterday was the first time he actually did it. Perfect. I've only tried it like twice, but I feel like he's just a happier, healthier horse. So if you guys are interested in learning more about Omega Alpha's products, go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com. I think it's really making a huge difference. So, and Jennifer's typing away to me. Jennifer, talk to me here. I can't read and talk at the same time.
that's really good thinking. I like how you think outside the box with these guys, with these OTTBs, because so often, when you stay inside the traditional training book and color inside those lines, they kind of catch on to like, no, this is way familiar. I know this is going to be bad. And they have that preformed conclusion. And it's so cool that you're thinking outside the box with him and letting him learn how to think again. Yay!
Oh, thanks. I was getting him out to the arena and I was realizing that even the more that I did it, even more so when you were here, he starts to get anxiety. So I would put him in the cross ties and this, he was a total anxiety mess when I went to try him out and look at him. And so I put him in the cross ties and he would just get anxiety. So I'm like, okay, you know what? For a little while, we're going to tack you up in your stall. And so he's fine. And now he's starting to get anxiety in the stall. So we went back to the cross ties. You know, I'm just going to keep switching it up. But I was getting him to the arena and trying to put on the long lines and he was getting anxiety. And trying to dance around and leave. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, leave. And so yesterday when he came, finally joined up with him and the opposite side of the arena, he stood perfectly still while I put on the long lines and I did. And I only long lined him for like a minute and a half. And I'm like, okay, that's done. It's not all like, he just gets anxiety. And I think he just had such a, even the, you know, his track, my farrier actually knew his old trainer at Turf Paradise. And she's like, oh, gosh, that sucks that he's with
That's
him.
Never a good thing when the farrier says, oh, gosh.
No. And so I don't even need to get into all the terrible things she said about that guy and his kind of program. It's very backyard terrible. So then he went to this girl who owned him and sent him to a cowboy. And then she lunged him, you know, forever in circles and galloped him around and whipped and whipped the ground and whipped the ground and whipped the ground and made him canter on the right lead. So he just is a nervous, he just has anxiety. He's not spooky. He just gets worried. He's just sensitive, you know, he just gets worried. So I think that this is making a big difference. And again, going back to Omega Alpha, without having all of these wonderful products to kind of start to heal him from the inside while I'm working on the outside, I think has really made a big difference. I'm still waiting on Omega Alpha's brain transplant formula. Because that
I hear they're in final trials with that.
By the way, if you ever get sick of that horse, Jennifer loves that horse. You can just ship him over. So
I know she loves him so much.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. All natural. Everything is natural at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, our first guest, his name is Dennis Winfrey, and you all know that Jennifer and I are huge history nuts. We love anything history. We met at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. I mean, that tells you something, 30 years ago. And we love Civil War reenactments. We used to live near Gettysburg, so we got to see, you know, some of the best Civil War reenactments that exist out there. And we just love everything to do with history, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Dennis is here. He is the stable sergeant at the California Historical Artillery Society, and he is up very early this morning. Thank you, Dennis, for getting up so early to talk to us.
I've been up for 2 hours, so it's no big deal.
All right, good. Well, good. These military guys, they have to get up early anyway. He's already done his calisthenics. He's all set. Well, Dennis, now tell us a little bit about the California Historical Artillery Society.
Well, it started about 25 years ago, and I went to a reenactment to see how the tack on an artillery team worked. I was reading a book on military saddles, and it absolutely made no sense to me. And when I got there, nobody was using horses to pull cannons. So I got talking to somebody, and one of the cavalry guys had a catalog where you could buy the tack and all the rest of it. So we started doing it, kind of a thing. And initially we were just trying to train anything with hair on, and it was going okay, but it wasn't that good. And I had a standard bred that I bought years ago. He was in his 20s as a wagon team, and he was the only one that seemed to really know what the hell was going on. And so we started shifting to standard breeds, and it made sense because they're already harness trained, they're used to crowds and the rest of the kind of stuff. And after we got up and running, I mean, this was a real learning experience for me, because I didn't realize how important certain things were to horses. And I'll throw an example. You go onto a battlefield with a six-up pulling the cannon. There's the noise, there's the flags, there's the guys running around screaming, and all the rest of the kind of stuff.
And cannons going off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the horses are stable together, and so they're a herd animal, and they're in their herd, and you're there, and you're not excited, so they're not excited. And it's just really a piece of cake, because it's office. And then when you get into horses, a lot of stuff I don't understand. But obviously, I've had horses where after you've worked with them for a long period of time, pretty soon you're reading each other's mind, you know. And it's kind of the same thing. There's a sense there. So when the artillery teams hit the battlefield and the crowd can see them, there's that people sucking their breath up. They've never seen that before. They're really impressive, right? The horses know they're the star. They swell up like toads and perform. And it's really kind of funny. And a lot of side benefits come from this I never had a clue on, is the fact that the way that we're treating them or keeping them on a day-to-day basis and everything is, I still have horses that I had in 1990 that came in as adults, and they're working into their 30s. The horse I told you that I had initially lived to be 39, and he worked up till the day he died.
Yeah, I've had driving ponies too that have worked into their late 30s. And they don't want to quit. You know, it's like with people. Well, if you retire, you know, a lot of people die within 6 months of retiring.
And it's the other thing I learned was the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, may be true, but old horses learn new tricks. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people realize they don't forget anything. You can teach a horse something and then throw them in the pasture, and pull them out 3 or 4 years later, and then 15 minutes brush up time, they're back to go. And it's this same kind of thing. It's really kind of fun when you're doing that kind of stuff, because you get stuff you normally don't have. And for example, our teams are 7. 6 pull the cannon, the other's what we call the outrider. And when we're going 500 miles to an event, that outrider is really the spare tire. He's trained for all the other jobs. So if one of them gets lame or lazy, we still have the 6 up. But he will normally be up by the front team. And after you play with him a while, and he's, again, part of the herd, is the guy that's riding him, usually he's a guide on Burr, can get shot off of his horse, and the horse will just hold a position with the team and run around with the stirrups, flapping on the side, you know.
How do you train them for the noise? Because, you know, anybody that's been to Civil War reenactment knows it, especially when, you know, you've got cannon horses. So
okay. I won't go back through all of the stuff we did when we didn't know what we're doing.
No, let's do but when you do know what you're doing part.
Is we get horses in here and we don't really touch them for 6 weeks to 2 months. All of our horses are pastured together on a turnout. And they get rid of their pecking order stuff out in the pasture. And then has to be, the new horse has to be accepted in as part of the herd. And at that point, a 6-up is the 2 lead horses. And have you seen artillery teams before?
Yep.
It's
sure.
Postillion.
Yep.
It's called postillion. It's you ride the left horse and that rider is controlling the pair. The swing team is the middle. The wheel team is the back. You're doing that. So once you have the horse accepted into the herd, you just watch. And generally speaking, it's what we call a pasture partner. He'll hang out with somebody. And so we put a team together of 5 veteran horses with his pasture partner as his mate and put them in the middle. And then you just go in. And, I mean, you know, you don't really want to be the opening act, but the new horse is looking to the other 5, you know, what's going on? And they're just saying, oh, we're having fun killing rebels, you know, and the rest of it. So it's just not a big deal. But after the first battle, they're a veteran.
So the noise doesn't freak them out at all during the first battle?
Nothing. I say that 99 out of 100, no, kind of a thing. Is generally speaking, when we go to a shape up and select horses, you know, when I say a white eye horse, you know what I'm talking about. You really don't want one of those kind of thing. But generally speaking, the horses just look to the herd, and if the herd isn't upset, they're not upset, and they just go along with it.
Now, you guys, we did an interview with a lady from your group years ago. It was a long time ago, and you were heading off to one of the largest reenactments that's ever been held here in the United States at Gettysburg for the 150th. And we never got to talk to her after. Were you part of that trip?
Yes and no. I was signed up for it, but I had a stroke.
Oh, geez. Well, I know. I hope you're okay now.
Yeah, actually, it was a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. I worked my way through. I was a corpsman in the Navy when I was in the service, and then I worked my way through college, San Jose Hospital. And the first symptoms, I knew what it was. I was in the hospital in 15 minutes. And so the MRI showed that it was major and all the rest of it, but the fact that I got there before there was any permanent damage meant I walked out instead of went out in a wheelchair, drooling.
Well, so was that reenactment all they had hoped it would be?
I guess, you know, it's the kind of thing we have, if you get before that, the 150th is, I'll go back, we're called CHAS, California Historical Artillery Society. That's because our first captain's name was Charles. And he inherited money and moved to Gettysburg and opened a bed and breakfast. And when he left and we were incorporating, it was, the CHAS was an honor to him. Anyway, he got back there and bought a team from us, and they were the ones that worked Gettysburg for years. And then a divorce came, and we bought them back. And, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Well, I got to tell you, we enjoyed seeing it. We've been to a bunch of reenactments, and there's pictures on your Facebook page. It's Jennifer will post a link to it. It's California Historical Artillery Society. You can find it there. And we've run out of time, but thank you so much for stopping by.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
He underplayed that a bit. It is really cool to see. I mean, when we went to Gettysburg, you would have literally 100,000 people there to watch, and you would have tens of thousands of reenactors. It is a sight to see for sure.
That's great that they use standardbreds too.
And they were apparently the best for it. I know when I talked to the other lady, she went into much more detail about it. But they use standardbreds and very successfully. Well, they're made for that. You know, it's what they're made for.
What I learned is that I need to not buy the white-eyed horses when they're like...
Exactly.
Don't buy that one.
You see, that's your mistake, Jamie. You keep buying the wrong one. Hey, we got to tell you about something else here going on right now. Is you can sign up for sweepstakes by horselovers.com. If you hop on over to horselovers.com/sweeps, Jennifer will post a link to it on our Facebook page as well. They are doing a sweepstakes. All you have to do is sign up. It's free. It's easy. It's simple to do. But you will win an all-expense-paid trip to Disney World. You will get to ride the horses at Disney World. You'll get to do all the horse stuff at Disney World. It's a horse trip to Disney World. It's basically everything that Wendy and Jennifer and I got to do.
How do we get to do this?
You just sign up at horse, and you are qualified. You can go sign up, Jamie. You can actually sign up for this one. No problem. I know.
Where do I go?
Horselovers.com/sweeps. And it's their sweepstakes. And I'll tell you what, it's not just the trip. They do unbelievable sweepstakes. When they did their one last year, they gave a trip to Rolex. And the people who were, I think they're from California, that won, father or daughter won, and they got all expense trip to Rolex. And the prizes that they won in addition to the trip was incredible. I mean, they just must have had 100 things. It was just this picture of them and their 100 things buried in prizes. So when Horse Lovers does a sweepstakes, they do a sweepstakes. Head on over there, sign up today, and I'll tell you what, if a listener from the Horse Radio Network wins the Disney trip from horselovers.com, Jennifer and I will come down and we'll buy you dinner at Whispering Canyon, one of our favorite restaurants at Disney World.
Is it expensive? Because that's the only way I'm going.
Yeah, it's about probably four people at that restaurant. It's probably about $120. So
sweet, big, fancy dinner on Glen.
That's
like
right.
They didn't get enough with this awesome trip.
Yeah, I know.
Trip.
It is an awesome trip. And it's a horse-related trip because you get to do all the horsey stuff. You get to do the trail ride, the carriage ride, all that stuff. So,
well, I signed up.
Head on over. Oh, well, that was easy, wasn't it? I mean, it's not hard to sign up.
So put your name and email.
Do that today. We want a listener from the Horse Radio Network to win this trip because I want to come down and meet you. So we'll do that as our thing we're throwing in there. And don't forget to hang around on horselovers.com for all of your holiday buying needs. They have a 45-day special where they have a different item on super special every day that would make a great gift. They have discounted parts. I mean, it is a great website. Check it out today at horselovers.com and sign up for the sweepstakes. Also,
it's
one of
lovers
the best
with a Z. Although, yes, if you type it wrong, it goes to the right one.
I was going to ask that. I didn't know. Okay, and then Equestrian Collections—that's their sister company—is been an advertiser with us, obviously, for a long time. They're doing their annual gift buying guide over on the Stable Scoop Radio Show this week. It'll be out on Wednesday. That's where Helena and I get together with Equestrian Collections, and we pick a whole bunch of stuff that we would like to either buy as gifts or get as gifts.
I want to do it too, because last year when I picked my gift buying guide from Equestrian Collections, I sent them all to Chad and I got like most of them.
Well, you did that already this year. You've already been shopping.
I was just buying the clothes
that
were on sale.
He spoils you rotten.
you
are one lucky woman, let me tell you what.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Work hard for this awesomeness, okay?
Please. Okay, horselovers.com, and check out Stable Scoop this week for the Equestrian Collections gift buying guide. You want to hear a little Jared?
I always want to hear a little
You
want
to hear Addicted, Riding Wild Ponies, Let's Ride, Have a Good Life, Same Dark Trail, Above the Timberline.
Well, let's see. We want something a little upbeat because the last guest was a little bit, you know, it was a historical guest. So yes, we need something to kind of get everybody going. Let's do Addicted.
All right. Riding Wild Ponies.
I said Addicted. Whatever.
Oh, Addicted? Okay. I didn't hear that part. Addicted it is.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now, I'm doing fine, I'm happy to admit. I don't believe that hype, you know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not, I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be in control, I tell you that in my defense. Cause the kind of Bronx I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness, I know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit, I pray I don't have it, just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Well, I'm really not, I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that'll never hurt anyone. Down to spend some more time at home. I buy my girl a diamond ring so she don't have to be alone. I ran into M. Richie the other day, I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull, I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. He said it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Eb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hocker diamond ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well, I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Jonesing for a rodeo, might as well be liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, and I would never get enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
Jared Rogerson with Addicted. You can find all of Jared's music at jaredrogerson.com. And I don't know if I mentioned this to Jamie, but Jared Rogerson will be joining us live next week on the Radiothon.
Yay!
He'll be calling in to chat with us, so you can look forward to it.
That will be lovely, Glenn. I'd love to talk to him.
He will be calling in the chat, so we're looking forward to hearing from him next week on Monday as well. We're only a week away. Can you believe that?
Now, I heard that, and I'm not going to say it because I know you don't want me to, but I heard that I need to give one Debbie Laux a little bit of a hard time for stealing my guest.
Well, let's just put it this way. Debbie may have the guest of the Radiothon. We'll know today at 3:30 or 4:30. She's supposed to record it. And if she gets this recording in the bag, she probably beats Charlie Daniels.
I mean, it is a big deal to have Monty Roberts on your radio show, but it's, oh, wait, it's not Monty Roberts. It's somebody even bigger. No, like, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, we can't say yet, but it's pretty big. And it's one that you've always wanted to interview. And she just, because she is Monty Roberts' daughter, she can make a phone call.
Yeah, but see, what the thing is, like, I interviewed George Morris. Like, that was nerve-wracking. I would be more nervous.
Yeah, I would probably
interview
would
this
too.
Guy.
Yeah, because you want to not ask the stupid questions everybody else asks. By the way, you didn't do that with George, which is what made it such a great interview.
Oh my gosh, thanks. That was really, really awesome.
Well, we are brought to you, of course, by Omega Alpha Equine, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I wanted to give a shout out also to our wonderful listener and auditor, Robin, who did the Really Bad Ads trailer calendars for 2016, which you can buy for yourself or as gifts. And we got ours in the mail, Jamie and I both. Mine's hanging up right here in the studio beside me. This is a great quality calendar, and she did a tremendous job with the pictures and stuff.
It's hilarious. I mean, let's be real. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful calendar. It's well done. But she even put the ad in the bottom of it.
Yeah, see, I didn't know she was going to put the text. Yeah, I wasn't expecting the text.
And you realize, like, how bad these, like, this. We don't make this stuff up. She saw the ads. She put them in. So
she put two in each month. She had to do some work. She had to go through and find 24 of them. And, you know, that's half the trailers we had last year. Yeah. So she really did a good job. I love the fact that the backgrounds are on all of these are rust colored because it's just perfect.
It's a really well done calendar. It looks really good. The titles are good. And mine is up in the closet where all Chad's Christmas gifts are because he's going to get this as a Christmas gift. Stocking stuffer.
You know, this would be good for anybody, but if you have a listener of the in your life that listens to Horses in the Morning and likes really bad ads.
Chad doesn't even listen, but I think it's funny because it's a calendar celebrating people's buckets of rust, and it's hilarious.
And the fact that the ads are there makes it fun to read. It has some context to it.
I think I should send one to my dad. Yes.
Yeah, that would be great. Your dad would be great for this. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's a good idea, actually.
Write that down. More calendars for everyone.
And if you want to buy one, just go to our Facebook page and scroll down. I put a link to it. It's just a couple entries down and on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You'll find a link. It goes out to createphotocalendars.com. And by the way, if you're ever wanting to create a calendar, I think they do a great job. So. CreatePhotoCalendars.com. Thank you, Robin, for putting that together. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great job.
And let's see what news we had from the weekend. Well, the big news, I guess, was out of Adelaide, and that is the Australian International 3-Day event. It's the only 4-star event down there, right?
Yep.
It's the only 4-star event down in Australia, and it was won by an Olympian, Shane Rose won it, and actually came in first and second, which isn't too shabby.
Like, you're trying to impress the selectors.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
He wants to go to the Olympics again. Yeah.
Yeah. He even goes on to say, like, well, I really wanted to have a clean round on both my horses, but I guess, you know, coming in first and second. I'm paraphrasing. Coming in first and second pretty much kick butt. So he just was amazing. Amazing.
And I think he'll seal his fate and be able to go to Rio. I think he's pretty much got that wrapped up. And then New Zealander Clark Johnston was in third place. So we've had him on the shows before in the past as well. So you can see all the details on that. Just go to eventingnation.com and they have all the details on that as well.
Yeah. Congratulations to him. Can you imagine not just winning one, but like coming in second too? But I guess when you're an Olympic athlete, you kind of do you expect that kind of performance, or are you still surprised by it?
They don't get to do that unless he, I don't remember whether he's in England or not most of the year, but you know, unless you are and live down there, you don't get to practice at that level too often. So, you know, that's a big deal for them to be able to do this. And Adelaide, isn't that the one that's like in the middle of the city?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Australian listeners. First of all, I'm number one talking about Australia and not using my Australian accent. Number two, I am not as informed as I need to be. I think a trip to Australia is in the making.
Yeah. There
Plus,
you go, there
I
you
could
go.
Really work on my language skills when I'm there.
Well, while we're waiting for Leslie to come in here from Horse Nation, why don't you do the list?
Yeah. So you gotta love when there are lists about being a horse person that are positive, because there's always like, it's gonna take your money, you're gonna get hurt, and so you'll never see your family, you're out there in the poop. I have the top 10 health benefits of owning a horse. So there you go. We're gonna talk about that right now. Jennifer, you are typing. We can hear you. Number 10, they're not even numbered. It's just all good. It keeps you physically active. Riding and other activities require you to be outdoors in all kinds of weather. It keeps you moving, cleaning stalls, grooming, feeding, raking hay, pushing wheelbarrows, not even to mention the riding. Those barn chores just actively burn calories and build muscle. I probably have the most strong left arm from holding Lucas and lifting a pitchfork.
I can definitely attest to this, because back in the day when I earned my living with horse hair under my fingernails, every night I would go to bed and I'd wake up in the morning and my whole body would hurt. I'd be stiff and creaky. But now that I sit at a desk all day, now all of my joints hurt 24/7. So it's really better to be out there in the barn.
Yeah, it really is. Another one, and I'm seeing this so amazingly, I have just a barn full of 13-year-old girls, and it builds self-confidence. While riding is an independent sport, it goes on to say, it's actually a partnership in which the owner is a teacher and a leader who works with the horse. And nothing builds self-confidence, especially for a teenage girl, than leadership training. This is not a horse website, by the way. I'm trying to remember where I found it, but it was like a sporting website, sports psychology website. Basically, when you tell a 1,000-pound animal to move in a certain direction and then follow you, it's in a feeling of accomplishment. And we know that it builds self-confidence in girls. My gosh, they can control a 1,000-pound horse. They can control a 13-year-old boy who's picking on them.
And it teaches them to control their husbands later on.
Exactly. It's building blocks, people. reduces stress. Come on. Any woman listening to this radio show does not know that horses reduce stress. There's just something that happens when you get around that smell and you have a curry comb in your hand that just changes everything.
Except, of course, when they won't load in the trailer and you're at the Florida Horse Park waiting to come home.
You know, I didn't talk about being with your husband as reducing stress. the husband part adds stress, so you have to do it by yourself.
Okay.
Leave the geek at home, Jennifer. Keeps you socially active, and it's fun to watch these girls. I keep talking about them, but to watch all of them meet out here and ride. I was going to go ride Norman yesterday. I was like, it's totally quiet. I just got back in town. It was like, boom! 13-year-old girls everywhere. They all descended upon the farm, but they're all just keeping each other. They're socially active. They're just talking all the time, and it gives them an outlet. I'm sure their parents really appreciate
it. You have a good group, too. You
do. I do. I really do. Riding helps the disabled. Obviously, it's unbelievable what happens for riders with disabilities. They have the chance to safely perform physical activities with the horse being a tool. It engages the creative side of your brain. And Jennifer and I were just talking about this. Training a horse brings up daily challenges that are going to force you to think creatively about how to train it and how to solve a particular problem. And that's kind of what I do every day with Norman. And I'm sure people do too. And you're going to have to figure out how to get your pony in a trailer, Glenn. So it's keeping your brain active. Another one is
thing.
It's a Hackney thing. It builds character. Character building is a natural part of horse ownership. It teaches you responsibility, punctuality, sportsmanship, frugality, patience, commitment, confidence, and self-esteem.
It doesn't teach you cleanliness. I'm going to take, was that on the list? Because I'm going to take that one out if it was on the list.
See, I'm going from the positive side of
this. Oh, okay.
We're not, yes, your barn will be clean and your house will be a disaster. We all
and your
know.
Car.
Yeah, and your car, and your boots, and your floors, and whatever. It promotes a union with nature. It get out and be in the fresh air. It does wonders for mental and physical health. Maintains bone mass of all of the weight-bearing exercises that you do, including hauling barn equipment, carrying saddles. It helps maintain your bone mass, which is important as women, as we age. Oh, this one's good. And then finally, I never thought of this one. Improves digestion. This is, again, a sports health website. Riding a horse at a walking pace stimulates the internal organs just as walking on foot does. It aids in liver function and digestion. Well, if you want to have a good poop, just get on your horse.
It says less walk, though. Apparently, if you trot or canter, that's bad.
Leslie Riley, do you want to have a good poop? Then just get on and go for a walk.
I think we have her with her. Hi, Leslie.
Hey.
Aren't you glad you joined this conversation?
Always.
No part of this.
Like, hang on, let me get another cup of coffee before we do this.
Yeah. Thanks. another way to make you poop. Sorry.
Of course, Leslie Wiley joins us from Horse Nation once a week. I'll skip your opener. You're already here. So, and of course, we talk about the wacky world of horses. And Leslie and her friend Jenny Autry, who is the one that's kind of in charge over at Eventing Nation, two of the most popular websites on the internet today, are going to be hosting the final hour, the 8 to 9 o'clock hour, the wild hour, the drunken hour of the Radiothon next Monday. And thank you guys, have been posting it like crazy. We appreciate that.
We're so excited.
Well, we're excited to have you.
I'm just Columbia, like... You just have some amazing guests. Amazing guests. I'm so excited. And I did not realize how popular two of your guests are with the teenage crowd until I mentioned their name coming up for the Radiothon. And they were like, oh, my God, I can't wait to watch. And that is Dom and Jimmy Schramm. Oh, my gosh. They are so popular with their invention and Along for the Ride series. Talk about those guys.
Yes, Jimmy and Dom are great friends of Eventing Nation. They're upper level eventers. I think a lot of people got to know them when they started doing a web series called Eventation, which is just like they'll do training tips. And they've done super hilarious music videos. You never know what you're gonna get. But yeah, they're a husband wife team, young folks. That have made their way up the levels, and Dom is from Australia, and they also do a show called Along for the Ride, and they're we had them at Rolex. I didn't realize how incredibly popular they were either.
Yeah.
Until we had them as we had an autograph signing with them at Rolex last year, and they got mobbed. Like, it was a mob scene. I felt like I should have gotten them some bodyguards or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for those of us kind of in it, we see their stuff, but they have fan base. And so they're going to get a lot of people listening to the last hour. Now, you also have some guy, I've never really heard of him. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't think he's one of the cutest guys in eventing in the world. Boyd Martin, never heard of him.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
This guy, Boyd Martin, you know, we'd heard something about him. He's supposed to be pretty funny. I guess he's an all right writer. He's, you know, represented the U.S. on in multiple international events, including the Olympics, the World Equestrian Games. Earlier this year, he was on our team gold medal winning Pan Am Games team. And
he's almost like the guy that needs no introduction. He's just, he's Boyd Martin. And then also you are going to bring, I'm just to be a fly on the wall.
By the way,
Asker,
Jamie, if you would like to call in and join him for that hour, I probably won't be able to talk by the 12th hour. So you're more than welcome to call back.
Lost your voice.
I just might do that. Lainey Ashker, no slouch herself, 4-star eventer. How many times has she been in Rolex? Like 100. She is an off-the-track thoroughbred advocate, did a lot with the off-the-track thoroughbred retired racehorse project, and then also is a social media diva.
Yeah, she's got a she's got an Instagram account that's very active. She has tons of followers. Like one of the most unique experiences of mine at an event this past year was she was doing a she's very known for doing selfies. And so she had one of the vendors at Rolex had a selfie toaster where, and I'm still not exactly sure how this works, but it burns an image of a selfie of Lainey's face onto a piece of toast, and she was giving those away and signing autographs and drinking champagne, and I've never loved her more. So
it was hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah.
So those are your guests for Radiothon. So again, it's the 8 to 9 hour, Glenn. Is that correct?
Yeah, they'll be the last hour, be 8 to 9 Eastern time. You and Jenny, Wendy and I will be still here. They'll be our 12th hour by the time you guys show up. So it's going to be all yours. We'll be too tired to talk. And we're taking callers, so if you want to call in and talk to anybody, buddy, and tell us about your favorite holiday memories, you'll be able to do that. And we cannot forget, the most important part of your hour is you will be giving away the grand prize.
So, oh my gosh, are you serious? They get to do that?
They get to do that. It'll be at 8:50. You'll be giving away the grand prize, which involves $1,000 worth of stuff. And you can find all of that if you go to Just Horse Radio Network, click on the banner in the middle of the page. But yeah, that's thanks to Benefab and Soar No More and Weatherbeat in Dublin. There's $1,000 worth of stuff that will go to one person who either sent a voicemail in or called us during the day. We'll pull a name out of the hat. So you guys get to do that. We're going to have Kat from Benefab here who will be assisting us, hopefully, that night. It depends how much alcohol is consumed between the 5 and the 8 hour, I think. But we'll hopefully be around to help you out. So you guys get to do a lot in that last hour.
We're the big finish. The big finish. And then we're going to break the internet and then the end. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, we'll see if our live feed holds up.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a little concerned about that in the last hour. It will have had a lot of practice up till then. We'll see how that goes. Thank you so much for doing this. A lot of fun too to have you guys on board.
Yeah, we're so excited. Thanks for asking us to help.
And you're hopefully gonna be we'll the, have lots the, of callers and you know, you guys are just gonna be chop chop the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Gonna have lots of you're gonna have to put on your host boots, okay?
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is not talking about training. We're not talking about people's rides at the Olympics. We're talking about Christmas. So we're gonna hear Boyd Martin's ideal Christmas. We're gonna hear his favorite Christmas stories. We're gonna see if they date back to his Australian days.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And he's got a new little baby, so that'll be his baby's first Christmas too. So that'll be like maybe he can give us a sneak peek of what's going to show up under the tree.
I got to be honest. I'm almost a little scared to hear about Lainey Ashker's favorite Christmas story. I really don't know what that's going to involve. We'll see what happens with that, but that's terrific. Horse Nation, boy, you guys find the oddest stories. And one of the oddest stories and most exciting stories is a McDonald's coming into the horse world. Now, it's not here in the United States, but
it's
anyway.
Not, of course not. Yeah, no, we're not that culturally advanced yet. No. But so apparently McDonald's in Germany is opening up a horse-friendly drive-through that it's just because, you know, it's a very horsey culture over there. Say you're out taking your horse on a trail ride and you're like, you know what would be really good right now? You know, a McFlurry and a McDonald's french fry. Like, I know I've had that thought before when I've been out on a trail ride, for sure. And other sort of times in my life, frequently.
You know, 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Like right now. but yeah, they've got a drive through. You can ride your horse through. They're hitching posts out on the lawn, so you can just park your horse. There's some place to get your horse some water while you eat your snack, and the parking lot is horse trailer friendly, apparently, which is great. I have been through, this is the closest I've been to my closest experience with something like this. There is a subway, you know, Tryon, North Carolina is very horsey. And actually, I think this is off the Landrum, South Carolina exit, which is just one exit further down, but it's all sort of the same area. It's very horsey area. You know, they've got couple horse parks, the new big one, and there is a subway drive through that you can drive your horse trailer through.
Really?
Yeah.
And not hit the building?
Yeah, it's on the side of a building. And I've done it. I'm not ashamed. I'm a little ashamed to say I've done it before.
Well, you know, we've had so many stories from here in the United States where riders go through McDonald's drive through and get in trouble.
They
get in trouble. They're not allowed to do that. And this one, when at the drive-thru, I see your picture there. At the drive-thru, it looks like they even have horse hoof-friendly bricks that they have put down in the lane. And that is so cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you think they sell, like, Mrs. Pastures for the horses, too? You can buy a pack of Mrs. Pastures or, you know, squeezy buns?
That would be really, you know, like when you sometimes you go to the bank teller and they have like dog treats or something. That would be really cute.
That'd be perfect.
That'd be a nice touch.
It's not going to happen anywhere here anytime soon. So don't hold your breath.
No,
but in Germany, good for them. And I'm really surprised that Jamie hasn't jumped in and talked any German.
I still got Australia on my brain. So,
all right. What about Pixio Auto Follow Camera? Tell us about that.
Sure. I'm just.
There's a Christmas gift for you.
There's another Christmas gift. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe, like, I know I ride alone a lot of the time. I'm out there alone, and you know, watching yourself on video, watching a ride on video or watching yourself do a course or a gymnastic line or whatever, it's always really helpful for me. I feel like I'm sort of a visual learner, and my instructor can be like, tell me to do something 10 times. But if I see myself, like, you know, on video, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Now it makes sense. Yeah. That's what I'm, you know, that's what I need to fix. But it's hard to, and I always hate asking people to, like, video me or, you know, but now there's this video. Well, it doesn't come with a video camera. It's sort of like a tripod, but it will follow. It auto follows you around the ring. So you wear how it works, I think, is that you wear like a wristwatch kind of device. And then there are,
The sensors follow the
beacons placed around the arena to triangulate your location, and then you put your camera on the thing, on the tripod deal, and your whatever, even maybe your smartphone, and it auto follows you around. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I was wondering how it didn't pick up like somebody walking by, you know, or a dog running around and, you know, come off of you. It's because you got the watch on. That makes sense.
Yeah. How smart is that?
That is pretty cool. And I was just watching the video. It's good video because you're using whatever video camera you would normally use. It just connects to the tripod. It's not cheap. This is €600, so it's probably going to be $1 million here in the United States. But no, it'd probably be $800-$900 here. But if you do a lot of this, I can see where this would be really handy.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my I have an 18-year-old student who will bring her horse over and she'll set up her phone and set it on top of a barrel and she'll record her ride. But like, it's hilarious because it's like, doo, doo, doo. There she goes.
in and out all the time.
There she goes.
Yeah.
There she goes. Like, I think that what are you learning by you walking by, you know, or trotting by and be like, bloop, gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
In and out.
It seems like you could literally like set this up in the middle of a 20-meter circle and it would just swivel around and follow you. Right. That's how I imagine it.
Then you're going to need another one to put on the outside of the circle to follow you around so you can record your outside aids as well.
Yeah.
Or here's what you should do is just go ahead and get one of those drones to follow you around your whole entire ride. Put this on a drone. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, they have this sort of a similar thing with the drones now. I think we did a story on that not too long ago, too, is like they have drones that will follow you. And it's the same thing. You have a tracking device.
You'd be driving down the road. It'll be following along.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is, I'm sure that would kind of probably freak your horse out. Maybe not the most.
Yeah. You know what? I was just going to say there's a horse. There was a horse just killed in Europe because of a drone.
Police horse.
Yeah. Yeah, freaked out because of the drone. So I think that's going to become a topic of conversation here too. Yeah. Drones are under conversation anyway with the Aeronautics Administration and everything. They're talking about regulating them and the whole thing. But, horses are another thing. I often thought about that when I see them flying over events.
You know,
you have to wonder.
Yeah. Well, they had that drone at Rolex this year, and but I don't think that they
kept it pretty high too, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they kept it pretty high, and it was. I mean, they had a whole team of people out there, you know, that were specifically in charge of the drone, so nothing was going to go wrong. I feel like I interviewed.
You know what you have more problems with than Rolex is not drones, it's wild loose dogs biting riders. I mean, that's more of a problem at Rolex than the drone. Well, that's cool. Well, we are so looking forward to having you next week.
Yeah, we're so looking forward to it also.
So this everything, by the way, everything you want, call-in numbers or any of that stuff, if you want to actually call in and talk to Leslie or Jenny or whoever, you can do that by going to horseradionetwork.com. Just follow the banner in the middle of the page. You guys are going to be posting links, too. There'll be players. I sent you a link to the player, so you can even put that on Horse Nation's website as well, so people can listen right from your website. So that's cool. And also, we wanted to let you know, if you guys want to do a post about it, it's been hugely popular. I don't know if you got to listen to it, but Jamie got to do an interview with the George last week on Wednesday.
I know. That is on my list of listening to.
Oh, you should, because this was not a training conversation. This was a personal conversation.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting, and she did a good job with it. It's very
interesting. Oh,
begin. Oh, man. Were you nervous?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I didn't sleep the night before, Leslie. How would you do? I thought I should ask him if he knows you guys, but the interview was going so well, I didn't want to make him mad.
Right.
Yeah, we were going to say, do you know about their posts over there at Horse Nation, how they make fun of you? We really wanted to say that, but...
It's an affectionate making fun of, though, so I feel like... Had it? He's just not the kind of guy you just go, "Hey, we're picking on you," and it's all in good fun. Like, no,
right,
I just didn't get that from him. But I'm sure. You should listen. It was really, really interesting. Really interesting. He's a cool guy.
He gave us some answers we didn't expect, and he was candid more than we expected, actually, because we were talking about his personal life. So,
I was just noticing that all the listeners, all the questions, we got a couple training questions, but most everybody just wanted to know about the man behind the riding. So it was really interesting to talk to him and kind of hear that. So
it was interesting. You'll listen too when you listen back to it. He gave us very short answers on the two training questions we asked, and he let us know that he was not there to talk about training, and he really was enjoying telling his story. So it was interesting to see the dynamic of that. It was, we've interviewed some pretty famous people, but George, he just never gives. George Marsh just never gives radio interviews. I don't know of any others he's done.
Yeah.
So it was interesting it was interesting.
So exciting. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to go back and listen to it right now.
Oh, you know what, though? And there was something that was said, and I think I have it. Just give me, you talk, amongst yourselves a second. just give me a second. It's just going to
take
you
a second. Are you still
thinking about Australia? I was trying to remember how to do Australian accents, and I do them very well, but sometimes people accuse me of sounding British at the same time.
Yeah.
It's blurred lines, really, you know. They're so really close. The countries are so close.
Yeah. So that, I mean,
you know, you're England and Australia just right there next to each other. So I just I get them confused, you know. So similar too. Oh my gosh,
funny. All right. Still looking, give me just another second.
Oh, Glenn, you're just show killing right
well,
now.
Well, one of the listeners did this for us. And oh, here we go.
Well, you're very sweet.
Let me play that again, because this was George talking about Jamie.
Well, you're very sweet.
Yeah!
Right. Shows how much he knows you.
Well, he didn't call her fat. I thought that was a good thing. So. There was, it was all very good, actually. It was, and we were both a little nervous about that, even though I threw Jamie under the bus and said, it's your interview, you take it.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going out of town. He's like,
yeah, we don't jump carriages. It's all yours.
So
I led the way with Charlie Daniels. You gotta give me credit.
Charlie Daniels, you gotta let that go. Like, you can talk about it again after it airs. How about that?
That's coming.
No more Charlie Daniels talk until people get to hear it. Because now you're just teasing everybody.
I'm teasing, yes. Well, thank you, Leslie, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, next Monday night.
Yeah. All right.
Alcohol is encouraged, but in your case, not too much, all right?
Not too much. Moderation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, whatever. We'll see you, Leslie. Horsenation.com.
Have a great
Bye,
week.
Leslie.
Yeah, by the way, thanks to Robin for cutting that little snippet out for you.
Yeah. I feel like there was more that he said to me besides just that. Like, I feel like he went on for like 20 minutes about how great I was, but apparently he didn't.
Well, you're very sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty short, actually.
Well, you're very sweet.
Yeah, but that's like a major accomplishment right there.
Well, that's, you know, I think what he followed that up with was, you're very sweet, we can continue the interview.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much what it was, but I don't know for sure.
I thought that the rest of that was like, you're very sweet and you're organized and you're prepared. You're asking wonderful questions, and I think I should meet you, and I bet you're an amazing writer.
That was it. You're absolutely right. Now I remember.
Oh, okay, now good. I thought I remembered.
He offered you free lessons for life, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to hit the road with Georgia. I still wouldn't take a lesson from him. I'm terrified.
Yeah, talking about being nervous.
Like, you are not very sweet. You are a hot mess.
Yeah, you suck.
You're a hot mess.
You need a different horse. You can't ride, and your breeches are all wrong.
Why are you jumping a Mustang?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's call it a day. Thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow we have the Women in Rodeo, which has been a very popular addition to Horses in the Morning. Heather will be here. We're talking about Women in Rodeo. And then on Wednesday, we'll have our final live show this week. We'll be off Thursday and Friday for the holiday, for Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving here in the United States, for those of you listening overseas that don't know what we're talking about. So we're going to have a short week this week, and then we'll come back with the Radiothon on Monday. So Wednesday, Jamie will be back live, and I'm not sure exactly whether we're doing. Jennifer, did we determine whether we're doing Really Bad Ads? I know that Victoria will be here. So
we are doing Really Bad Ads on Wednesday.
There you go. So get your ads in. It'll be your last chance to get them in before the holiday.
Who knows? Maybe you'll make next year's trailer.
True. And you know what? I have some prizes left over here from the Radiothon. I'm sure we can come up with a great prize. You know what? We should give away, now that we've seen the calendars and know they're really good, we should give away one of the calendars too on Wednesday. So we'll,
as a prize.
Yeah.
Bad ad prize.
For bad ad prize. So get your ads into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com early this week. Look, they have crappy Craigslist ads on Mondays and Tuesdays, too. So
they're pretty much all the time.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. here on Horses.
All right,
in the
everybody.
Morning.
Have a great one. Thanks for listening. Spay, neuter, and gelp. I don't know if you can hear, but the 2-year-old is awake.
Yes, he's alive.
Good girl.